I'm going to read down through the 11th verse today. We are going back to Ezekiel and look at those old dry bones. I hope that you had an opportunity to go back and read that this past week. John chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for those beautiful hymns. I praise you for these folks that have come, this family that is gathered together to just to be together, to be with you, to be with each other of like mind and like beliefs. And we just thank and praise you, dear Father, that you've gathered us together. You've brought us to be one in you. Now, please, that you will continue to save souls. Every week we come together and there is need of salvation. And please, that those that are lost that are here will trust in you today. They'll come to that sweet cross. And they recognize that at that cross is where, dear Lord, you took their sin away. And you just are awaiting them to come and accept that wonderful gift of salvation. Please, dear Lord, help them to see their sin and recognize you as their Savior and accept that. And dear Lord, there is much work to be done with the church. This work of sanctification, this work of continually growing and changing us and making us more like you. And that work continues every day. And it should be especially today as we come together and study your word. So please grow us today and show us your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have found as we look back into the fifth verse and just a little bit of review that there is no power that can make us spiritual, make us godly, make us like the Lord, except the power of the new birth, being born again. And as we look at this fifth verse, he explains to Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. And we looked at the water there standing for the Word, and the Word has to come. And when the Word comes, then the Spirit of God has the opportunity and the ability to come into the heart and to show the heart how wicked the heart is and the need of salvation. Nothing of our natural state, nothing that we have of the flesh will do that. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The sixth verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, a smart man, a good man, a teacher of the Old Testament, knew the verses of Scriptures, quote the verses of Scriptures, did his job. He followed with the utmost faithfulness the religion of his fathers. And I'm afraid that's what we do many times. We follow after a religion, a denomination, a teaching that they have, and not what the Word of God tells us. And so we need to see today that we know this living Lord, that we have trusted in Him, we have come by faith to Him and confessed our sin and just pleading with Him and asking Him to come into our hearts to save us. We are not some special gift to God. We're a filthy, rotten sinner that needs to be saved. And He will, He is faithful and will come into your heart and save you. Nicodemus saw nothing wrong with his life. Nicodemus knew that everything he had done right and proper according to what he had been taught. But we're so thankful that the Word of God got to Nicodemus' heart because it brought him to Jesus, wondering about more. More about Jesus, that's what he wanted to know. And so in coming, he didn't even have an opportunity to ask his question because Jesus again knew the question. Knew the problem, and the problem was he must be born again. And so he continues to speak to Nicodemus, continues to tell him of his need. He doesn't argue doctrine. He doesn't discuss what is right or wrong with what he knows. He tells him, there's something that you've missed. There's something that you need. You need to be born again. And of course, we know Nicodemus does not understand. Nicodemus felt that everything was fine, and most people today do. Most people that attend church on a regular basis, even if they don't even attend church, most think that they're going to go to heaven because they're good enough. God is a God of love, and they're good enough. And people believe that that's all they need. Well, we know that especially this section of Scripture, as many others, explain to us the need of the new birth. We must be born again. The question comes, it's not because we're good or because we're bad that we go into heaven and spend eternity with God and enjoy His fellowship here upon earth. It's a decision of being born again. People don't go to hell because they're bad. They go to hell because they reject Jesus Christ. That's just a simple, simple teaching that we need to understand. Salvation is not something that we grow into. Again, if you're born into a family of people that go to church, then that's understood as long as you stay in that church and continue that you're going to be okay. You're fine. Everything is fine. That was the upbringing that I had. I had no thought that I needed to be born again. I had no thought that I wasn't going to heaven because, you see, everybody that I knew, we had just one family in the community didn't go to church. And that was the only family, as far as I was concerned, that wasn't going to heaven. It didn't matter where. It didn't matter anything. It's that you went. That was the only thing that was important. Well, that's not important at all. What's important is, do you know Jesus? Are you born again? Again, salvation is something that you don't grow into. It's something that happens instantaneously, just the second that you call upon the Lord for salvation. That's when it comes. You know, people that get saved, it's not that they wait and come down the aisle to the church and grab the preacher's hand and says, I want to get saved. I tell you what, my friend, when you have made that step out of that pew, salvation was yours. But you come and said it publicly, and that's wonderful. It's not awaiting a prayer of some preacher or some special prayer that you pray. It's your heart. It's a decision that you make to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to be made in church. It can be made anywhere. Just as long as it's made and you recognize your sin and you need a Savior. See, Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That leaves no means of evolving into a Christian. Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." That cuts it off, any kind of works that you may be trying to do. Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," on Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." We have all gone astray. The only means of salvation is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And then he goes on with this explanation of the wind. "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Jesus is explaining here the Holy Spirit through an example of the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes to. You can see its results. You see its results by the leaves fluttering in the breeze. You feel it when you stand out around the corner. It seems like every place that I have to work is where the wind is not. All I have to do is just walk around the corner, just one more corner, and there's this beautiful breeze. You can feel it. But I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it goes to when it gets done with me. But I know it exists. And Jesus said, so is the Spirit. You see the results of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. This wonderful spiritual birth that we need. The work of the Holy Spirit convicts the heart, convinces us of our sin and need of a Savior, and brings us to the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful work the Spirit does. This is a Spirit that is being introduced to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is feeling the work of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit begins to convict his heart, begins to show him who Jesus is. But to this point, and you can still read down to verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" He can't get it through his natural mind. And that's probably where you're at today. You just can't get it through your natural mind that this can be. How can this be? Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 37. It is a wonderful story about the wind and about our Lord and what he does. If you've never read this, it's going to be a blessing to you, and I hope it kind of wets your whistle a little bit for some Old Testament study. And you can go into Numbers. I'm on Sunday morning on Carthage, why we have finished Leviticus 16 and Hebrews 9 and 10. And I started this morning with Numbers chapter 1. And we're moving very quickly on a kind of a survey style all the way to get the nation of Israel into the promised land. And so I've got, they're going to travel for 39 years. And so I don't think it's going to take me that long to get them there. I'll try to speed things up a little bit. But when I go back and I read that back in Numbers, this is exciting. This is wonderful to see how God works and what they did and to learn with the mistakes that Israel is making. We should learn from those. And here we have this man named Ezekiel, and God brings him into a place to show him something. And here in verse 1 of chapter 37 of Ezekiel, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up on them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now we're going to go back to the beginning of this chapter just for a few minutes here, and kind of bring you up to date. It's believed that what has happened here is that the Lord has brought Ezekiel back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Finally, the last taking of the southern kingdom, Judah, and Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar did that. And as he came through and took this last swing, he took some captive back into Babylon, but most were killed, were slaughtered. Thousands, if not millions, were just slaughtered in the street. And here laid all their bones. Nobody buried them. All the bones were laying there. And the Lord brought Ezekiel back to see this. And these bones had lain in the street so long that they were broken to pieces. They were just, you'll come upon a carcass back in our timber of a deer or something or other, you know. And very seldom is it together, you know. By the time the vultures and everybody else got done with the flesh, it's kind of broken to pieces, and one section's over here and one's over here, and the rib cage is kind of collapsed down, and it's kind of even hard to tell what it was sometimes. The only way you'll know is by maybe a set of antlers that you'll find there. And so as you see that, this here came Ezekiel, and the Lord, I believe, you know, you can say came in the spirit. I think God literally brought Ezekiel over and put him before Jerusalem, and he physically saw these dead bones. He saw those. And the Lord began to speak to him on what was going to happen. Well, it was actually the restoration of Israel is what he was showing him of what was going to come to pass. You know, here's the dry bones. Right now they're in captivity. They're scattered around all of the world. There's no hope for Israel. And that's those old dry bones laying there. And the next step is why there's muscle and flesh put upon those dry bones. First of all, the dry bones are brought back together. And I think that's a key, because the nation of Israel is being drawn back to Jerusalem and back to their promised land. And in doing that, in coming back to the promised land, why, now we have a physical body. And so the bones have been brought back together, the flesh and muscles have been put on, and they're back in the land. That happened in 1948 when the land was renamed and a regathering started, and it's still going on today. But what's still missing is life. They are still just a dead old body. There's no spiritual life in the nation of Israel. In some individuals that are born of Israel, yes, they can get saved. But as far as the nation's concerned, they are dead. But God has given them a body. And so they're back to that level. And then we find during the millennial reign and the kingdom age, why that's when they're finally, will life finally come back and the Spirit will be within them to give the nation of Israel life. And so we see this, again, the slaughter came when they were taken captive. They were taken captive because they were disobedient, because they had stayed away from God so long and worshipped idols and all those things. And finally, in God's patience, he finally said that was enough and finally come and destroyed that and turned Israel, turned to Jerusalem upside down. The temple, everything was scattered. We have much recorded about the condition of the city. And here we have all these people that are laying there. Their bones are just laying there. And God tells exactly for Ezekiel what to do. And it comes in steps and stages. First, the bones begin to rattle and come back together. And as that took place, why, there's something that you know, is a tremendous miracle here to take this dead body, these old broken bones, and put muscle and flesh back upon them, and then breathe life into them. But the greatest result of this is not that body was raised from the dead. The greatest result is, and it should be for us, that ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, that's what we miss. We look at miracles sometimes, and the miracle of the new birth, of being born again. The purpose and the greatest gain of all is to know that He is God. Prior to that time, you don't know. And so I don't want you to miss that in that last half of the sixth verse there. And I've under that ye shall know that I am the Lord. That's the greatest message here. And so he began to prophesy, and the bones begin to shake in verse 7, and they begin to draw themselves back together. And then we find the muscles coming on, the flesh coming on, but there was no breath in them. You know, God is the creator of all the world, and he created man, but he took Adam and made it out of dust, you know. Well, here, if he can do that, what is keeping our God from taking these bones and putting flesh back on them again and giving them life again? It is not an impossible feat at all. But there they lay, and there was no breath in them. And then then God told Ezekiel to speak to the wind, and the wind would bring breath, and it would just come across all these bodies that are laying there lifeless, and they took on life. And when they stood up as a great army, the scripture says. An army that had been defeated because they could not stand against the enemy because they had left their God. And we can never stand against the enemy when we leave our God. And so don't forget that. You know, yes, the Spirit of God will never leave you, because once you're born again, you're always born again. But we have a means of walking away, of doing busy work and other things, and not being serious about the work of God and knowing our God and searching our God. You want to be powerless, you walk away from Him. You want to have His power and His strength, then you stay with Him, and you follow Him. This life here, this wind that is spoken here, and Jesus to Nicodemus said, you don't understand where the wind comes and the wind goes. Nicodemus knows the Word of God. He knows what happened in Jerusalem when they took Ezekiel there to see this. He knows about the wind and the life that came in. What an example. We also have, if you'll turn with me over to Acts chapter 2, verse 2, another situation, another example of the wind. This one here is one that Nicodemus has not experienced because it's not taken place yet. But we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 2, and I'll read verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so we have here, once again, the use of something like the wind. We have something similar like the wind coming and giving them life in Ezekiel with all this mighty army laying there breathless. And then here comes this wind and it gives them life. So we go back now to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we look at that eighth verse, and he says, "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is every man, every one that is born of the Spirit." Now, and so we have this example of the wind. And again, Nicodemus is a very, very educated man when it comes to the Word of God. And he knows the Word of God. And who's to say that Nicodemus, that Jesus didn't know that Nicodemus would go back to these old dead bones and the life that came in when he heard about the wind? And, you know, also the Lord Jesus, when the Spirit of God came upon him, why, we have the cloven tongues. We have all kinds of connections here. And so the Lord Jesus is giving him a perfect example. Again, something simple. You know, you don't understand the wind, where it comes from, where it goes to. But you see its effects. And so is the Spirit of God in the life of every individual. You see the effects. A person that is born again bears proof. And that proof is the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit is wonderful. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You see, when we begin to be controlled by the power of God and the Spirit of God, we begin to produce a fruit. We should be fruit producers. And people should see what we're made of. And so you see, as the wind, we see the result of the wind, the effects of the wind. Well, so should every lost person see the effect something that happened to us when we were born again. People should see the effect. And the more we grow, the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more people should see that. And today we know that everybody is just coming together in unity and throwing out all the doctrines of God's Word. And there is no difference. And that's a wonderful trick of the devil. The old devil loves for us to not stand apart and stand separate for him. People should see, as we are born again, this special power. Now the old flesh jumps out all the time. But the more we grow, the more we stay faithful to Him, the more we surrender to Him, the more this fruit begins to grow in us. And it doesn't, as the list begins with love, it doesn't start with love and we get all of God's love and then we get all of His joy. It's all these things are growing in us. And it's not long that people should see these things in us. They should know that we're different. They can't see how we can have patience that we have. They can't understand how that we can love them and care for them when they're unlovable. They can't see how, when all these things are happening to us, that there is joy in our hearts. How can this be? Well, you see, this is the result. This is the effects of being born again. And we need to be busy about surrendering to the Lord, listening to Him, following after him, that we can be making this difference. So when people say, what do you mean born again? I don't see any change in you. I don't see that you're any different. I don't see anything different in the things that you do and the places you go. What's different about you? Why be born again? You're no different. And that's a very sad statement when a lost person looks at you and says, I see no difference. They should see a difference. They should see a difference in us. Another very sad statement with Nicodemus. He just comes back with one more question. How can these things be? Jesus has come to him and given him this instruction. In verse 3, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And the word see the kingdom of God there. And then in the 5th verse, Jesus comes back once again and tells him again, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. And you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the first time you can't see it, the second time you can't enter it. And then the third, he tells us in the 6th verse that flesh can only produce flesh. Nicodemus, you need to understand that. It has to be spiritual if we're talking about spiritual things. And so he explained that to him. And then he gave him a very earthly example about the wind. And he says, you know, if the wind, if you can't understand this being born again, do you understand something about the wind? And he doesn't. He can't understand that. And again, the hope is here that Nicodemus even came back and remembered something about the wind bringing new birth, bringing life to this army that was raised up. And yet with all this, Nicodemus asked that same question. How can these things be? Still in the dark. Still ignorant to God's grace and power and strength. And who is the Lord Jesus? Who is Nicodemus speaking to? Who is he communicating with right here? The Lord Jesus himself. And yet he's still thinking of the flesh. Now the 10th verse says, and Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Jesus doesn't come out with an open discussion any longer. He kind of rebukes Nicodemus. And when he says here, thou art a master of Israel, it is actually, if you look at the Greek, it is the master, indicating that Nicodemus was probably the most outstanding teacher of all Israel. The greatest. And yet the greatest teacher, with all his accomplishments and all his degrees and all of his education, he doesn't understand. He must be born again. Preachers today hold their great degrees, have much learning, and still they come and they teach what they have been taught concerning their denomination. They teach that doctrine. And they reject the greatest teaching of all. And that teaching is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Again, Jesus says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Nicodemus, you know the Old Testament. You know scripture verse after scripture verse after scripture verse. And I had looked up and read and enjoyed Psalms 40, verse 10, Jeremiah 4, 4, Ezekiel 18, 31, Ezekiel 36, 26. And if you want to look those up, please do. It are verses of Scripture that speak of salvation. They speak clearly of the need of the new birth, speaking that salvation is coming. Nicodemus knew those words. How did he miss it? How could he avoid not knowing and not being right there. Not being in Bethlehem when Jesus was born, because he knew that this was the Messiah. And Jesus comes and continues to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." Jesus brings in God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And he is saying in those words that I'm not coming to you as a prophet that has been set apart or ordained of God to give you this great message. I am God. We bring this to you. And you do not receive our witness. You're missing it. It's the same thing today. The Holy Spirit today could be touching your heart. And once again, you could be as Nicodemus and says, how can these things be? I don't understand it. Until I do, I'm not going to get saved. Well, that's the old flesh. If you'll just surrender that old flesh over to the Spirit of God, salvation will be yours. You'll just turn it to him. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Please. Please, as the Spirit of God, poor Nicodemus, a man of so much knowledge, and yet he is missing the central point of everything that he knows. The main point of the Old Testament is proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. Who it's through, where it comes from, all the information about it. It's all right there. And he missed the whole point. So you see, it's pretty easy for preachers to miss the whole point today. If Nicodemus could miss it, folks today can sure miss it. And so can you, if you're still trying to figure it out. Just say, "Dear Father, I give up. I know I'm a sinner. I need you. Please save me." That's the great news we need to take out. Psalms 40:10 was those very same words with David. David says very clearly unto God, he says, "I have not hid this message from anybody. I have told people of salvation. I have told them of your loving kindness. I have told them of your grace." You see, that's a message that we don't say, a message that we don't speak. And David said, "I said it. I didn't hold back." Most people do. Something you hear often, "Oh, I wish I could have said something, but I just couldn't. I just couldn't make myself say something." We don't have any trouble carrying on a conversation about anything else. But when it comes to giving the gospel, that old devil just gets us all tightened up and we just can't open our mouths. David says, "I have told the great congregation." In other words, he has spoken it to all the nation of Israel. He didn't hold back. Jesus knew, Nicodemus knew that verse of Scripture. Jesus could ask, what is David talking about when he says salvation? And then there's so many, the other two in Ezekiel there about the heart, the old heart, needing the new heart. It's not news to Nicodemus. He just missed it. And so let us be as David, bold to speak. And if you don't know Jesus, please today, don't miss it. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We enjoy gathering together reading, studying, listening, singing, praying. It should be a place of refuge that we can come in and no matter what the world, how the world is binding us and dealing with us, and we can come and we can feel your presence and your power. And we know that during those difficult, terrible times, we need to turn to you and trust in you, call upon you. And we know you'll be faithful to be there. Whatever the challenge is, whatever we're going through, dear Lord, we just need to continue to call upon you. If it's a victory that we're looking for, then just continue to come right back to the source that can give us that victory. And dear Father, that's you. And let us not falter, not stop. We just keep coming to you. Please, I plead with you to give me this victory. And don't give up. And the victory will come, because he will give us the strength that we need. Please, dear Lord, that our lives be turned and surrendered to you. Bring those that are lost, bring them today, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.